Hey y'all, it is time. Time for your boy, DJ Smooth T. This is the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show. Come on,
can I sing my song,
take
y'all?
It away.
You can hate on me, but I'm still gonna do my.
Hey family, thank you so much for listening. This is your boy, DJ Smooth T. This is the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for listening. We're on a journey, y'all. I promised you a journey, and I'm going to give you a journey. I don't know what to say. I appreciate everybody listening, loving, and enjoying my podcast. Let me do a quick adjustment here. There we go. Let's adjust him on up a little bit. Let's see if we can get this to work. That's what I wanted right there. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Of course, I am DJ Smooth D, and you are in the midst of the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show with your boy, a cast of thousands, and of course, the most savoriest, most zesty, most funky-ass music you ever heard in your life. So thank you so much for listening. We promised you a few things. I promised you some stuff. We're still talking about that foundation of Southern Soul, which, excuse me, we're in the midst of the blues right now. And as I said before, it is not necessarily with the blues. It means that the blues is this, whatever you want to call it, this music that just sounds depressing every time you hear it, because it's not always true. As I tell people this all the time. So let's think for a few moments. Let's stop for a second. That's what I wanted right there. Let's stop for just a moment. And we're going to think, okay, we're headed to the juke joint, or we're already there, and we have heard a mass of music from some different folks. Of course, we've heard from the likes of Howlin' Wolf and Robert Johnson and B.B. King and Lil' Milton Campbell and all these great artists. So now, as the concert continues, we are ready for those beautiful, vivacious, spicy ladies of the blues. So here we are, legendary blues women. Now, no particular order, no particular fan base, no particular area, but we're just talking about some of the great blues women now. Some of these names you may have heard. Some of them you may have never heard. I did my research and did a little bit of going down the rabbit hole and all these things. And I heard of some of these women. Some of these women I've never, ever heard of in my entire lifetime. So let's talk a few moments about these women. Now, mind you, as I said, these are some of the greats of the blues. And let's begin our discussion. That's right. Let's begin this podcast with a young lady that we know and we actually love her very much. Her name was Miss Bessie Smith, arguably one of the greats of music. This young lady was really a jazz singer for a long, long time, but she was one of our most popular blues singers back in the 1930s. Born 1894 until 1937. And let me tell you, smile, beautiful, gorgeous lady. She passed at an early age. Unfortunately, she passed at the age of 43 due to a car crash. She was one of the greats to me. But you have to think about it. I mean, most musicians, jazz singers, blues singers, they kind of live a short life. I mean, because you have to think about it. Most of the time, they're involved in either drugs and alcohol, or, you know, they live a hard life for quite a long time. But she was born in, as we said, in 1892. And she wasn't actually, a singer that was, you know, she had a really, 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 you know, she had this great career. she really had an okay career for a long, long time. But she was one of our great blues women. Shout out to her. Her entire career was shortened due to the Great Depression, of course. She was famous for her appearance in the movie called St. Louis Blues. You know, she was one of the greats there again. And we have to look at another young lady. Her name was Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey was, she's on a postage stamp. She's considered as the mother of the blues. And she kind of gave us that bridge between vaudeville and southern blues, which is what we kind of look at as kind of the blues of our era. Raspy voice, heavy voice, and then also another young lady, which her name is really synonymous with one of the hits of popular music. It was Big Mama Thornton. Big Mama Thornton, she is, this is the craziest thing about this young lady, which I didn't know this until recently. She was born right here in Alabama, in a little place, probably about, I'm going to say about 30 minutes south of Montgomery, called Ayrton, Alabama. And then 1926, December the 11th, and I'm going to have to give that to somebody. There's some important people that I know that are were born on the same date, December 11th. Something good to know. She claimed Montgomery, Alabama, as her birthplace, as her home. Of course, she is famous for the hit Hound Dog. For those who do not know, as I said before, and I'll say this wholeheartedly, most of your popular music was derived from the blues. Here's a perfect example of a song. She had another recording in the 1960s that was made famous by Janis Joplin called Ball and Chain. And she literally died penniless. She never got a single, I don't believe she ever got a single dime from her royalties, from her music. I don't believe that for nothing in the world. I mean, people can say what they want, but a lot of your early blues artists, they died poor. They died as they lived, poor. Very talented people. The reasoning behind some of your more famous artists, to me, and as I always say through these podcasts, it's just an opinion. B.B. King, he made most of his money, I believe, from touring. He didn't make a lot of money from recording the music itself. Lil Milton Campbell made a lot of money, I believe, from playing his guitar. But they had, they were some of the later blues artists. Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Muddy Waters, T-Bone Walker. I believe a lot of those artists, they made a little money. But people like Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith and Big Mama Thornton, they never made any money. Their royalties, their publishing, their music was stolen. And then when it started making money, their name was nowhere near it. She died on July 25th, 1984, at the age of 57 in Los Angeles, California. Look at that. She came from Ayrton, Alabama to Los Angeles, California, and she died penniless. It says here that she died of a heart attack and liver disorders, penniless in a boarding house in Los Angeles, California, and was buried in a shared pauper's grave. So that basically clear. She came into the world poor and left poor. Now, mind you, that's for a artist of that magnitude and that much greatness. You would think they would have had a little money, enough money to bury themselves, but she didn't. Bless her heart. Big Mama Thornton, birth name Willie Mae Thornton. She was a great artist. She was a singer, could sing with this, and she was a songwriter. She wrote her own music. So shouts out to Miss Big Mama Thornton, Miss Willie Mae Thornton, somebody, one of our the ladies of the blues. Of course, there are some modern day blues artists gone but not forgotten. People like Etta James, ladies like Etta James, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. Yes, she is a blues singer. One of my favorites, Miss Ruth Brown. If you ever dig around and you want to hear some of her recordings, Ruth Brown was amazing, but she was dirty. She had a song called Sit Down On It. Coco Taylor. She had many recordings. Janis Joplin. Yes, she was a blues singer. Miss Irma Thomas. And here's one that'll really throw you for a loop, but I'll tell you why on the back end. Miss Tina Turner. Reason being, her husband, ex-husband, estranged husband, passed away husband, Ike, he was from Mississippi. He was a blues man before he made all of those great rock and roll tunes and pop tunes. Let me see. Clara Smith. Here's one for you as well. Aretha Franklin. Remember I told you guys that a lot of the artists in the early 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, well, the early 40s and 50s, they didn't know what to kind of class them in or kind of put them in, which you're really not supposed to stick a musician in a box because they'll crawl out of it. But she was a jazz singer, sung gospel, and she sung the blues. Bessie Tucker, 1906 to 1933, Ruth Foster. And here's one for you. I love this young lady. She is an amazing singer. Sings across genres. Miss Bonnie Raitt. Here is somebody that I never heard her name until today. Her name was Lizzie Douglas, better known as Memphis Minnie. She was a vocalist, singer, songwriter. And she lived in, she died in Memphis. She lived in Tunica County, which is just a stone's throw from Memphis. But she was born in, she claimed her birthplace was in New Orleans. But at the end of the day, there has been records and things that have shown that she was actually born in Tunica, Mississippi, which is Tunica County. Amazing artist. She was on Decca Records, which is a very famous label, Bluebird Records, Columbia. So she was an amazing artist as well. I never heard of this lady. Memphis Minnie, you definitely want to look her up. She died at the age of 76. In 1973. So, she was definitely all right. But yeah, there's a lot of ladies that sing the blues and literally are, influential artists, amazing singers, amazing songwriters, amazing people overall. Here's a young lady that she may not ever be talked about. Her name was Blue Lou. Blue Lou Barker. She was a New Orleans native, and she moved to New York with her husband. He was a guitarist. She was she made, let's just call it, they say risque, but I call it dirty, songs like Scat Skunk and Don't You Make Me High. She was in the she was part of the labels like Decca and Capitol and Apollo in the 1930s and 40s. She just brought a New Orleans flavor to great music. As I said, Ruth Brown. She made a song, like I said, you guys need to go listen to the song when you get a chance. It's called If I Can't Sell It, I'm gonna keep sitting on it. You do the math. We won't go any further than that on that one. As I said, Coco Taylor was famous for the song Wang Dang Doodle, which it was produced by another blues legend, Mr. Willie Dixon. She was on Chess Records, and then she was on a label called Alligator Records. Amazing artist there again. Etta James. We don't think of Etta James as a blues singer. We more think of her as a kind of a soul jazz singer. But At Last. She's a 6-time Grammy winner. Can't beat that with a stick. Tell Mama I'd Rather Go Blind. As it says, At Last. She was also named one of the 100 greatest artists of all time by Rolling Stone. Now, when you make that list, I don't think they've ever redone it, but when you make that list, you're something special. And let's speak about this young lady here. Her name is Irma Thomas. As I said, she's considered as the soul queen of New Orleans. Her discography spans over 50 years. She did a lot of early music with a young man, another New Orleans native. His name is Alan Toussaint. And she did a ballad in 1964 called It's Raining. She did another one called I Wish Someone Would Care. I got to go listen to that. Irma Thomas is somebody that I've heard a few times, but I've never dived into her music. So this is what I'm saying to you guys about this, about our big goal, Southern Soul. Along the way, there's going to be some artists and some people that you might have heard of, but you never heard of. Go dive into their music. That's the only way that we're going to be able is going to be able to expose you to a lot of different music. Everybody says the blues and soul blues is so depressing and dirty, but some of it's very good music. As I said, we talk about, you think about B.B. King. We think about Bobby Rush. We think about Lil Milton Campbell. We think about Robert Johnson. We think about Sonny Boy Williamson, Howlin' Wolf. All these artists that are just here, Eric Clapton, she's always done New Orleans jazz. She's always done it. She's always been a New Orleans institution. So shout out to Miss Irma Thomas, beautiful, gorgeous, just a good woman overall. Shout out to her. I get excited when I see people take the opportunity to dive into other parts of their music. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that that's how it opens up your mind and it makes things better for you. When you literally just say to yourself, you say, well, I'm going to try this music on for size just to see if we are literally, we're listening to all the music we can. I'm like that with jazz. I'm like that with blues, soul music. I listen to different parts of hip-hop music, which that's another story in its entirety. That's a whole episode that we can talk about from the standpoint of soul and blues. So, let me see. It's just, it's something about it. I mean, you have to take into account a lot of this music, as I said, was stolen music. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't music that was, to me, was taken seriously. Women, for probably 40, 50, 60 years, 100 years, women weren't taken seriously. Women were looked at from the standpoint of, okay, you wash, cook, and clean, take care of a man. But you had those women that just, for lack of a better word, didn't give a damn. And these were some of the women. Bessie Smith is a perfect example. Yes, Bessie Smith was gay. Let's just call it what it is. If you ever go and see, or if you have not taken in her movie, take it in. It gives a, to me, it gives a really, it's really dark. It's really gritty. It's really down. She drank a lot. She smoked a lot. She was, to me, she talked a lot of mess. Her mouth was filthy, especially in that movie. Her mouth was filthy. It is what it is. But it was also an opportunity for women to be empowered. At that time, a lot of the women were, that was during the time when women were trying to gain their right to vote. They were trying to get out of the kitchen and go out and work, take care of the household just like men did. So it was an empowering type of situation. So women had an opportunity in the early blues and jazz game to show men that, hey, we can do this stuff too. If a woman, to me, and don't cancel me on this, please don't. I say it like this. If a woman can drive a damn 18-wheeler, she can do anything. If a woman can drive a tank, she can do anything. Kamala Harris is the VP of the United States. Women can do anything. Let them go do it. Because there are some situations where we need women in certain positions. We need help. Men can't do it all. It's just like men have been chefs for many years. Never had a problem with that. But when women started becoming pilots, and they started becoming truck drivers, and they started handling positions of authority and positions of hierarchy, we had a problem with it. So to say it like this, blues women, or women of the blues, were doing something that most people don't think was a good idea. Wish they were singing blues. Big Mama Thornton, look at her. They took her song, Hound Dog. I still can't get over that. I found out she sung it better than Elvis did. Elvis just had the right people in the right place. But if you ever go back and you listen to Elvis in some of his interviews, he'll tell you, yeah, I was standing in the window of some of these juke joints listening to some of these same black artists stealing their music. I've said it. It's an opinion. If people know it or not, it's an opinion. And like I tell people, opinions are like armpits. Everybody got one and they stink. It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, as I have told people many, many times before, hundreds of times before, this music will always be blues-based. It will always be blues-based. Blues and jazz-based. If you ever go back and you listen to some of the recordings and some of the chords and some of the melodies and some of the chord progressions, you will hear the blues wherever you want to. As I tell people, that E, we call it the blues E, is where it's at. And like I said in the last episode, ABC and D, And that G can't compare to that blues E. That's just my own opinion. Now, also, you have to think about it like this as well. At that time, when a lot of this music was being recorded, a lot of people just put it together and just sung it. There was no none of this, oh, we've got to, you know, we got to go in and get the rights to the music and the copyright and all of these things and all of that stuff. Here's how it worked back then, from what I understand and what I've been told. Most of the time, your music was recorded and pressed at the same time. This is what I've seen from movies and clips and pictures and things like that. And like, for example, I'll give you a good example. If me and you had a group, this is one example I saw, the movie, you need to go back and watch it, Five Heartbeats. Okay. We would go to a talent show. Excuse me. And in the talent show, we would do our thing and we would win the talent show. So the next thing we would do is we'd write a new song. And they would say, okay, we're going to go in the studio on next Saturday and record the song. The song was recorded and it was pressed the same weekend. We might go record it either, we'll just say Friday, or maybe even late Thursday night. We'd go in the studio, record it. Okay, they would have a copy, a vinyl copy of that recording. Then what they would do is they would go to the record presser, or he would press the music for you. You might press 300 or 400 copies. That's all you could afford. But you own your label of your record, either it was a 45, most of the time it was 45s until the recent, I'm going to say the 1960s. That's when we got 33s and 78s. But in the 1940s, early 1940s, early 50s, you might would get a 33 or 78, but it would only have one or two songs on it. So they would press your record. Once you press your record, you might not have a street team, or you might not have a team to distribute your music. You would go to the record stores and distribute it yourself. And the record stores would write your name down, how many records you bought in, who you were, and they would pay you for those records. That record might be $1. The 45s might be 50 cents. Okay, so we got to split all this up. But when the recording happened, you might sign a contract that said, okay, well, we'll pay you 50 cents or $1 for all of your records. And at that time, $5 to $10 was a lot of money. But on the back end of it, that's when your music got stolen, in my opinion. You know, a lot of the artists didn't have a manager. They didn't have a record label. If they did, the record label was dirty. The whole label was... There was never a time where folks that sung this music, and I'm going to say people of color, sung this music that they owned the music. This has been in the last, since the early 70s, where people owned their music. Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Curtis Mayfield, Smokey Robinson, Berry Gordy, The Temptations. I don't think a lot of artists own their masters. They had to fight for their masters. Ray Charles, in the movie called Ray, he literally went from one label to another. He went from Atlantic Records to from Atlantic Records to Columbia Records. And in the movie, if you watch the movie, he talks about what he wants. These ladies could not do that. They couldn't talk about, oh, I want a publishing deal that lets me keep my masters, or I want a publishing deal that gives me 80-20, you know, or I've still got my catalog when I leave. They never had that. That's why I told you when we go back to Big Mama Thornton, she died penniless. Nobody helped her. She's buried in Los Angeles now. God rest her soul. But she was the innovator of Hound Dog. You died penniless. That's why I say to all the artists that are, that's why we have such a presence of independence from record labels. Now, that's one good thing about this day and age when it comes to technology. I can write a song, record it, mix it and master it right in my home, and place it all over the place. YouTube. I can put it on Spotify. I can put it on Apple Music. I can put it on Amazon. I can put it anywhere I want. Thanks to what they now call distribution services. They just distribute the music for me. Nobody can have my catalog because I control the catalog. Because I've copyrighted the music and I've done everything I needed to do. There again, these ladies couldn't do that. But I say it like this. Don't ever think at any time that you still can be shysted. You still can't be taken. You can be, even as an independent artist. But anyway, I want to say one lady, to me, she really, and we have to give her just due. She sung to me Electric Blues. And she was also given the title of Queen of the Blues. Her name is Denise LaSalle. She was a producer, writer, singer, sung American blues. They call it American blues. There again, we're headed to soul blues, ladies and gentlemen. We're headed over there. The next episode is going to be literally about soul music, because we're headed to Southern Soul. We're headed to soul blues. We've talked about the blues, the men and the women. We're going to talk about soul. And then after that, I'm going to bring it all together for you. We're going to take that pot of gumbo that we've been talking about and mix it up real good and let you basically go out there. And I unfortunately, as a podcaster, and I love spreading my talk, my commentary, but I can't spread it everywhere, especially when it comes to the music itself. The music itself is hard to spread it because of all the copyright constraints, which I told you. We're going to get past that eventually. But anyway, Denise LaSalle was, in my opinion, one of the greatest singers to ever walk the earth. She is up there with Etta James. Yeah, she was given the title of Queen of the Blues because of the passing of Coco Taylor. We gave Coco Taylor the title of the blues because of Wang Dang Doodle and because of Willie Dixon. I didn't have a chance to meet Miss Taylor per se. I have heard of her. I have been in the same room with her. In Mobile. But anyway, Miss Denise LaSalle was born in LaFleur County, Mississippi. There again, we're back to this again in terms of Mississippi. Mississippi is the foundation of Southern Soul. It is the foundation of soul blues. It is the foundation of soul music. It is the foundation of music as a whole. If you're ever in Mississippi or you live in Mississippi, I encourage you to go to the B.B. King Museum. I'm going. I have a pilgrimage on my mind that I'm going to do before I leave this earth. I'm going to do some of the blues trail. I'm going to do Memphis, and I'm going to do the B.B. King Museum. I'm going to do those because I'm now into blues music. I love the blues. I really enjoy the music. But anyway, back to Miss Taylor, Miss Sal, not I call her Miss Sal. I do. I call her Mama. She was, to me, her most famous song was Trapped by This Thing Called Love. It's been re-recorded many a time. Down Home Blues. Down Home Blues was, I believe, I'm going to dig into it and find out who made it first, because we also have a version from ZZ Hill as well. She did it. Here's a good snippet of her, kind of where she was at the time. She had a song, Don't Mess With My Toot Toot. She had many different songs. She had an entire album of gospel standards and gospel music that she did. She did a 2-CD set called the This Real Woman. She finished her career with, and it's crazy, she bounced from label to label throughout her career. She was primarily an artist. I say this all the time, that Malico is our label, thanks to Mr. Tommy and the staff and everyone over at Malico Records. They have held probably some of the best blues and Southern soul artists on their label for decades. They had Vic Allen. They had Mel Waiters. They had Marvin Cease. Marvin Cease ended his career at Malico. Lil Milton Campbell. They had B.B. King. They had so many artists on that label. O.B. Buchanan was another one. I think they had him for a little while. Echo is, and we're going to talk about labels as well from Southern Soul and Blues standpoint. They had a lot of companies didn't fool with Southern Soul. They didn't fool with the blues. That's where we got Echo Records from, and Malico Records, and you'll hear of a label called CDS Records. End Zone Entertainment, that's Willie Clayton's label. Many different artists. K-Tune, which is Omar Cunningham's production company. There was a lot there to it. For example, here's a good example. In 1982, this is kind of a side note, but something to think about. She was signed as a songwriter for the Malico label in 1982. Denise LaSalle was. She recorded herself at the same time. She recorded Lady in the Street, Right Place, Wrong Time, Right Place, Right Time. That's another one. She was on Malico for 15 solid years. And she just released good music. In 2002, she, as I said, Echo Records, Memphis-based label. She was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 2011. She was 83 years old when she passed. She had heart problems. She had a fall. Her right leg was amputated in 2017. There is a marker in Belzoni, which is Belzoni, Mississippi, marking her home. That's a privilege that a lot of the artists get. It's like the Walk of Fame. It's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it's the Blues Trail, which has been set up all over from one end of Mississippi to the other. It's actually outside of Mississippi now. There is a couple of markers in Florida. There's a few in Georgia. There's a few in believe in Texas and Louisiana. I know there's one in Florence, Alabama for W.C. Handy, which is the father. He is the father of the blues because of that blues E. They consider him the father of the blues, but, you know, you got to think about it like that. She was also in 2015. She was inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame. So she had a lot going on. And she had a number one single, which was number one R&B single, which is Trapped by This Thing Called Love. Her highest charting album would probably be Lady in the Street. Her highest rating single was Trapped by This Thing Called Love, which I love the song. I mean, it's her best to me. But, I mean, a lot of folks don't look at it as the, you know, as, you know, trapped by this thing called love. They really don't look at it, you know. They don't look at Denise LaSalle as the queen of the blues. They really, really don't. I mean, honestly. But anyway, as I said, we are in love with these ladies. I know I am. I mean, it is what it is. Side note, and something that I like to throw around, right towards the end of her career, I believe this was 2015 or 16, I believe. I was fortunate to actually see her live, in person, up close. We went to, me and DJ Unique, God rest her soul. I talk about her all the time. I say we because she is very integral in this. We were given the opportunity, and we always did this for the artists. We paid for our tickets, even though we were part of the press corps, we were part of the radio community. We paid for our tickets. We went out to the Haynesville community, which is, we'll say about 35 minutes west of Montgomery, for a blues show. And this particular show was in Haynesville, Alabama, off the road, in the cow pasture, as we say. It's so funny because these two venues were within 20 minutes of each other. But there's Carnes Park, which we talk about in Whitehall, home of some of the best blues shows you'll ever go to. And then they had this one-time event with Omar Cunningham and Denise LaSalle. It took me everything to not go. J1 was also there as well. But anyway, so funny story, she was sick that evening. She had not been feeling well probably for the last 48 hours. And so they were a little concerned. So Omar, being the professional that he was actually supposed to close the show. I mean, he was supposed to actually do, it was some kind of conflict, but anyway. He stepped on stage and sung. And towards the end of his set, he said, y'all are going to get a rare privilege. Because Denise wasn't supposed to sing that night. So I was more shocked than anything else. Because the rumor had been floating around the concert that she wasn't going to sing that night. I wasn't mad. I get it. A little disappointed. But she came out on stage anyway. And gave a 45-minute set that was beyond imaginable. She was ill that night. And if you heard her live, she sounds exactly like she does on record. The only difference is if you look at her, you think she's somebody sweet. She's like she's a sweet old lady. This lady had one of the most filthy, disgusting mouths you ever heard in your life. That's why they say this is grown folks' music. That's the truth. And the truth will literally set you free on this one. But anyway, but we have to stop and thank these women for their tenacity, their greatness when it comes to the music. Because they didn't have to do this, but it was the love of the music that they did it for. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say this, as we head through the legendary blues women, please go out, take a few moments, get your favorite streaming platform, if it's Amazon Music, if it is Spotify, if it's Apple Music, whoever it might be, Tidal, whoever. Take a few moments and go listen to these ladies. You will be happily, happily fulfilled when it comes to blues music. Don't get me wrong. Blues men are amazing. The blues women are impeccable. I really, really love and enjoy Ruth Brown. I love Ruth Brown. I love her filthiness, because she talks about things undertone. You have to listen real close. Young lady that she's reached a lot further than she used to, because she was very underrated, not overrated, underrated. Shamika Copeland, amazing art, just a raspy voice, just a voice that's almost damn near as raw. You would think that you're sitting in a juke joint way in the back of the Mississippi farmland. I believe that's where a lot of the artists get their rawness from. It's from the blues. And you would say the same thing as you listen more and more. But I mean, there's many different artists. I can't even name them all. There is also this is from another website. It's called American Blues Scene. Shouts out to the American Blues Scene. These are more artists, more singers that we have not even talked about. Sister Rosetta Tharpe. She was a blues woman, but what made her different was she played the guitar. And she sung gospel, foot stomping gospel. So shouts out to her. She was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2018. So she was a recent inductee. Shouts out to her. Young lady by the name of Sippy Wallace. She had a song called "Woman Be Wise" and "A Mighty Tight Woman." Bunny Raitt, you know, she's a big proponent of this young lady. She was one of the standout blues women in the 1920s. She played organ. She was a choir director and a blues woman. So she was amazing. Her debut album didn't come out until 1971. Or was it backwards? I'm backwards. That was Bonnie Raitt's album. I'm sorry. On her debut album, she had those two songs. And then, of course, Bessie Smith and Memphis Minnie. Minnie Smith, she had a song called Crazy Blues. Ma Rainey, of course, Bonnie Raitt. And see, here's somebody I've never even heard of. Susan Tucci. I'm sure she's an amazing artist. There's that gospel influence again. She started out in a gospel choir, and she ended up singing the blues. Beth Hart. There's my friend Shamika Copeland. Samantha Fish. Shouts out to her. It's just tons and tons of ladies that have sung the blues. And here's the twist. Most of these women, if not all of them, are Caucasian. So there we're bridging not only the gap of music, but the gap of race. Music is a universal language. It is what it is. But anyway, let's there again. Let's say thank you to these young ladies for singing all they sung for as long as they sung, because they're adding more of those ingredients to the gumbo of Southern soul. So I just want to say thank you again. No chart this week. No news this week, but I want everyone to take a few moments and go listen to some of this music. I'm a proponent of people having an opportunity to be able to hear the music. Now, disclaimer, real quick. Unfortunately, as I said earlier, a lot of the copyrights to these musics have been bought by different individuals and record companies, and it mutes a lot of the music. So if you hear some music on some of our podcasts, we decided to put some on. It's some very short, very snippets of a lot of the music because we're afraid we might get muted, deleted, or even possibly get into a copyright battle. Which, this is for your own edification. So I do encourage you guys to go to Spotify or Apple Music and just dig up a few of these names. Just put in traditional blues or legendary blues women or, you know, whatever, and hear some of the music. You will hear that grittiness, that raw, that absolute just sound of the blues women. But I really want you to go. I really want you to go. In the coming weeks, I have made a decision. I'm going to set up some of our listeners, some of the playlists. They will be on Spotify it'll probably be under the Mr. Southern Soul banner. And we're going to get, I'm definitely want to get the blues men and blues women, get those up. Get some Southern soul up, get some blues up, get some R&B up, so you can hear some of the differences of this music. So you can hear some of the similarities. You can hear some of the gospel tones and some of the blues E and some of that bass line and all of those drums and all those things to kind of tie it all together. Because there again, our big thing is that pot of gumbo that's on the stove, and that stove is people to me. The ingredients are the different types of different genres that go in the pot, blues and soul music and Texas blues and blues from down south here in Alabama and really many different places, and to allow the pot to simmer. And then the next thing you know, you've got a new Southern soul hit that you're enjoying under your favorite shade tree at home or out in the country somewhere or just outside or in your home with a cold beer or in your home with some meat on the grill or whatever. It just adds atmosphere and aroma to your experience that we call life. So I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you enjoying me in this podcast. It is kind of new for me, so charge it to my head and not my heart, because this is all, there again, part of what I like to do and what I like to talk about and what I like to get involved in. So please follow me. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm going to definitely ask you to follow me as we take this journey together. Southern soul, jazz, blues, American art forms. played all over the world. So I appreciate you. I love y'all. And as I always close, I never ever say goodbye. I always say, see you later. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show with me, DJ Smooth D. Thank you so much for listening.